drank wine. Verse 6. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall not drink wine, neither ye nor your sons forever, neither shall ye build houses, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyards, nor have any vineyards or houses. You won't have any of them, but all the days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you be strangers. You see, their dad saw the writing on the wall. And he says, you know what? Things are going down. It's going to get bad. We've heard what Jeremiah said. Now, this is Jeremiah saying, drink wine. But they're saying, you know what? We're not going to listen to you, Jeremiah, because our dad said, don't do it. And we're not going to do it because our dad said not to do it. They postponed their pleasures because of principles. Proper response, especially in a dark hour, right? If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land, forgive their sins, right? 2 Chronicles 7:14, a verse we like to quote, but this is what these guys did. Jeremiah's preaching, it's going to fall. Their father said, don't eat, don't drink, don't have houses and lands, tents. That's what you need to live in, tents. Live very simply and keep it very pure. And they said, we're not drinking wine, and we're not going to live in houses. That's a pretty huge thing. Pretty huge. Pretty huge. Jeremiah, go get these guys. Tell them to drink wine. See what they say. Reminds you kind of a Job, doesn't it? Have you considered my servant Job? He's saying, go find the Rechabites. They'll show you what it should look like. He says, and we won't do any of these things. Verse 8, he says, thus we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father. All that hath charged and all that he's charged us to do, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, or our daughters. Nor to build houses, for us to dwell in, neither in all that. He says, but we have dealt well, in verse 10, in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass when Nebuchadnezzar came into the land, we ran into Jerusalem. Remember early in our study? God says, what are you going to do? Nebuchadnezzar's coming. When he comes, you guys get up, you go inside the city, and you get in your sackcloth and ashes, you sit there and wait. They say, when it came down to it, verse 11, we went in the city. This is exactly according to the plan that God had given them. You've sinned, you got to pay, and when you pay, it's not going to be pretty, but there's a way through the fire. And he gave them an outline of what the way was. And the way was, when the time comes, you go into the city and you just sit down and you wait because you guys have it coming. And when they come in, you're supposed to testify, God is good. We're getting what we deserve. Where do you want me to stand? What do you need from me? See, real repentance says, whatever you want me to do, I got this coming, God. I'm worth, this. You're worthy. You're the only one worthy. And they were like that. Verse 12, and this is where it says, then came the word unto Jeremiah. This is the new time, okay? He's referring in verses 1 through 10, or 1 through 11, of something that happened in the past under the previous administration, Jehoiakim. And then here he's saying, thou, the Lord's word came to him saying, thus says the Lord, verse 13, go and tell them, men of Jerusalem and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction nor hearken to my words? The words, verse 14, of Jonadab, that he commanded his sons not to drink are performed. Unto this day they drink none and obey their father's command, but you hearken not unto me. The proper response was just do what I'm telling you to do. And if you just do what I'm telling you to do in these dark moments, I will get you through. Now I'm going to just kind of let you kind of read through that on your own because I don't want to tarry, but I want you to see these guys get blessed. That's what he ends up saying at the end. He says in verse 19 of chapter 35, therefore thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want for a man to stand before me forever. Not only did they go follow the Lord in obedience, but they won the blessing for their kids. We want the blessing for our kids. That means we got to follow the Lord in the here and now. If he says jump, we say how high. If he says go, we say where you need me. And we do it. Chapter 36 is where it comes down to it. Bible says in verse 1, he says, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah the Lord, from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations. Notice, all three are mentioned. Israel, Judah, and all the nations. So he's telling him, put your portfolio together. Put all your messages together. He does it. He takes Baruch in this passage, and he's his amanuensis, his secretary, if you will. He takes the dictation. They write the books. And it's in the verse 1, it tells us that it's in the fourth year, and it's down in... let me see if I can put my finger on it. In verse 9, it says it's the fifth year when it's done. And he says in verse 9, and it came to pass in the fifth year that Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people of Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Jerusalem, that then read Baruch the book. Okay? Now he's out in public. A year later. It's about a year later. Took him that long to put this compilation together. He's out there reading it. And the Bible says that when he's reading it, some of the people who are primary, scribes and people like that, they hear it and they fear, which is the proper response. You've just come through chapters 1 to 29, and every one of the messages without fail has blood all over them. We're going down. Things are going to get bad. There's bright spots. God's going to deliver us ultimately, but right now there's a plan. And they feared. And so when he says that they feared, they in verses 10 through 16 is where he shows us these people's response. It says, when he read the word in the ears of all the people, verse 11, Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah and the son of Shaphan, heard all these words of the Lord. And he went down to the king's house into the scribe's chamber, and all the princes sat there. And then he said in verse 13, he declared unto them all the words that he had heard, which he heard him read in the ears of the people. Verse 14, therefore all the princes and the sons of Nethaniah and the sons of all these sons, it says, called for Baruch, saying, take in thine hand this scroll that you have read and bring it. And so he came and he read it. And in verse 15, he says, sit down, read it in our ears. And he read it in their ears. And 16, it came to pass... then when he read it all, they were afraid, both one and the other. All of them were afraid. You might underline those words. That's a proper response, but they're not in positions of power. These are guys who are counselors to the king. So he's given them the 29 chapters, all these messages, and now he's read them, and these guys are all sitting there quaking in their shoes, and they say, surely these words must be brought to the king. In verse 16. Well, what happens when they bring these words to the king? Do you remember? Yeah, I think maybe some of you do. When he brought them to the king, the Bible says in verse 20, they went into the king's court. And actually, it was kind of insightful on this guy's Micaiah. He told Baruch and Jeremiah to go hide themselves. And he takes the scroll into the king. And in verse 21, it says, the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it from Elishama, the scribe's chamber, and he read it in the ears of the king, verse 21. Verse 22, now the king sat in his winter house, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before them, and it came to pass when he read three or four leaves. That's not like a book like we have. They would unroll it so far, read, and then they would read again. So three or four. He didn't read maybe one sermon, really. It's kind of what we're looking at. One sermon's all it took. King was enraged. Bible says when he had read three or four leaves, it says he cut it in pieces with a penknife. I like that. It probably was like my penknife. I don't know what a penknife. They got a penknife in the Bible. But he had a knife of some sort. It was just a penknife. And he cut the roll in pieces. And the Bible says he cast it in the fire. Consumed it. Fire consumed. All that work took him a year to do it. Cut it all up, threw it in the fire. This is how Jehoiakim said, Jehoiada felt about this whole thing. He says, no, let's throw it in the fire. He burns it up. And the Bible says, and everybody in the room, in verse 24, were not afraid. All of his primaries were not afraid. Sounds like a presidential cabinet. they're a little afraid right now, because November's coming. I think they're all afraid. We got a Rahm Emanuel jumping ship, and we got a couple of people, advisors on the highest level, jumping ship before the election. I think they're a little afraid. But these guys weren't afraid. And the primary guy's not afraid. He figures we just are all dumb and we don't know what we're doing. So that's our world today. We live in a world where there's insolence, okay? Impudence of face. That was the way it was in their day in the final hour. And the Bible says they were not afraid, neither rent their clothes in verse 24. In fact, he gave orders after he would burn the roll. Verse 26 says he commanded at the end of the chapter, it says he commanded the scribe that Jeremiah the prophet and all those guys, he commanded them to be taken, to take Baruch the scribe in verse 26 and Jeremiah. Take them, grab them, arrest them. But the Lord hid them. Well, verse 27 says, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Now, you might underline the word then because it's really bad here. Okay, this is bad stuff. You got the very king of the land with his sight on you. Bloodlust toward you. This bad moment. Guess what? God shows up. That's when God shows up. When things get really ugly. And things got really ugly. So God showed up and he said, do this. Take the... He says, after the burning, he says, take thee again another roll, verse 28. I love this. God's like, we can do this again. We can do this whole thing again. And he says, take Baruch. He says, take this. And he write all those former words in there again. Jehoiakim, the king had burned. He says, and say to Jehoiakim. And this is the first person you want to go talk to when he's got his eyes on you. He'll probably send it by a messenger. But he says, tell him, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned the roll. Saying, why hast thou written therein, why, saying, king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy the land, in verse 29, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast. Therefore thus says the Lord to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David anymore. This was a provocative response. Jeconiah got about a 100-day reign, and he was wiped out, and his name was cut off, and he was a mockery, and he really had no power. His dead body, look at verse 30, it says, his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. The story understood from the records that are extra-biblical are these. Jehoiakim was the guy who was on the throne when Babylon first came in. When they first came in, and they came in with all their guns loaded, if you were, for bear, they actually took Jehoiakim and threw him over the wall and said, take him, we don't want him. The people did this. He didn't die, though. But they scooped him up and they started riding back to Babylon. And halfway there, he was such a mess and in broken shape, they just threw him under a tree somewhere and left him there for the birds. But he wasn't dead. Fulfilled. This is how this man died. He would be, in verse 30, cast out in the day to the heat and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, upon the men of Judah, and all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. So then Jeremiah took another roll. He gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. Which is what we're reading now, because chapter 29 was basically the portfolio. And we're getting a whole lot more now. And it's all because this man burned the book with fire. There's a poetic justice in the fact that the city would be burned. And it's probably connected here with the fact that this guy takes the word of God and burns it. Bible says, heaven and earth shall be passing away, but my word shall not pass away. Word for word, 1 year's work dictated back to Baruch. And we have a perfect book called Jeremiah. Who, by the way, was later honored above many prophets. Some thinking John the Baptist or Jesus was Jeremiah resurrected. Because he was a great prophet that they all realized was right on target when he had preached. But they didn't realize it till after he was dead. So he lived a very hard life. But he did it to the glory of God.